Well, good morning, everyone, to the regular meeting of the Board of Directors for the Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District this February 9th, 8 a.m. And just for clarifications, this is a regular public Board of Directors meeting. It's not a public hearing. So let's go to the agenda. Item number one, Pledge of Allegiance. So, Ruben, can you tee that up for us, please?
Yes, sir.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We'll go to item number two, roll call of the Board of Directors. Vanessa, can you please call the roll?
Director Fellow?
Present.
Director Fellow?
Present.
Director Trevino? Director Trevino?
Present.
Director Garcia?
Present.
Present.
Vice President Santana?
Vice President Santana?
Present. Having present. Issues with my mic. I'm wondering if the echo is because of me.
And President Chavez.
The president is present, so thank you. So we'll go to item number three, adoption of the agenda. May I have a motion to approve as presented?
So moved.
Second.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda as presented. Any comments, discussion? Hearing none, Vanessa, please call the roll.
Director Fellow?
Yes.
Director Fellow?
Yes.
Director Trevino?
Director Trevino?
Aye. Yes. Aye. Yes.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Vice President Santana?
Yes.
Yes.
President Chavez?
President Chavez?
And I vote aye, and that's a 5-0 vote. That item passes. We'll go to public comments. Anyone wishing to speak before the Board of Directors may do so at this time. There's a 3-minute limit on the remarks as requested. So, Vanessa, do we have anybody in the chat box that wishes to address the Board at this time?
I do see Ms. Cynthia Sternquist does have her hand up.
Okay. Welcome, Cynthia.
And President Chavez.
Tom, go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, we're getting an echo, and I think it's coming from your connection. Could you mute yourself? All right, Ms. Sternquist, go ahead.
Good morning, Chair Chavez, directors, and Mr. Love. I'm a bit confused. I thought today was going to be a second public hearing, and the chair just shared that this was not going to be a public hearing today. So maybe you could just clarify that for me. I know that Vanessa had mentioned that public hearing was going to be, comments were going to be taken until the 9th. So I'm a little bit confused as to the process.
Yeah, so I can clarify that for you, Ms. Sternquist. So the next public hearing as it stands now is planned for the second meeting in February, which is the 23rd. The request for public comments by this morning for this meeting are our standard public comments for our regular board meeting. So the next public hearing regarding redistricting is currently planned for February 23rd.
Okay, so will the public comment date then be continued until a further date right before the meeting?
As normal, up until the time of the meeting, we'll receive written public comments. And then, of course, oral public comments can be provided at the meeting. I also do want to mention, and Vanessa will read these into the record today, we did receive, I believe it was 5 public comments that came in prior to this morning. So we will read those into the record today. Although most of them do seem to be applicable to the redistricting process, but they will be read into the record today.
Okay. And will they be reread or should those letters be resent? At the February 23rd meeting.
Once received, they are part of the public record on this item.
Okay. Is this, I'm sorry, I don't see your picture. Is this the attorney or?
Yes,
yeah, this is Mark
Catano, General Counsel. Yeah, once okay. Those are received by the district, they're part of the public record.
Okay, and then if I could just ask one more question. The processes for public hearings with the water district are much different than the processes when we have public hearings for city council. And so I think that's why I'm a bit confused. I'm not questioning whether or not the process is correct. I understand that, each agency can have their own, but because we follow a different process, I think that's why I'm confused. And then I have one other question for you, sir, is when you have a public hearing with the water district and constituents send in letters or comment regarding, say, the redistricting issue, does there need to be a discussion on the letters that were received so that the constituents understand, how to address the discussion from the directors for the next public hearing? Because at the last public hearing, there was no discussion regarding the comments that were sent in.
Just like in city council, same thing with water district and any other public legislative agency, public is invited to participate and provide comments, but there's not a legal requirement that a dialogue ensues or that those comments are discussed or addressed. That is up to the chair that presides over the meeting.
Okay.
The receipt of the public comments is satisfied the legal requirements.
Okay. So I would just ask, especially for the constituents that have called me concerning the redistricting issue, respectfully, if the chair would consider at the next public hearing to have some discussion in regards to the public's comments, because they really walk away with not a clue as to how their public comment was received. I know in my city and the majority of cities in the San Gabriel Valley, there is always on city council a response to public comment. So I would just respectfully ask that. I understand that there's no legal requirement, and I would just ask as a courtesy from the chair that there be some minimal discussion, at least just to even let the public know what the process is. So thank you very much.
Let me clarify something for you because you spoke to a good point. There's a difference between a public hearing and a public comment. Actually, having extensive discussion on any item, public comment that is not on the agenda would be a violation of the Brown Act. So until and unless that item is agendized for the board to discuss, the board is really not in a position to engage in a discussion of a public comment item on a issue or a matter that is not agendized.
Right. So the past meeting that took place on the redistricting issue was agendized, I believe, as item 7B, and there was numerous public comment, but there was no discussion.
Right. Mr. Sternquist, the time for public comment has expired. Thank you for your comments.
I very much appreciate it. I just wanted to clarify that with the attorney because I think he just clarified what I was asking, that if there is a public comment, there should be some discussion. Thank you so much, Mr. Love.
All right. And sorry for taking over, Ed.
No problem. So just a question to you, Mr. Love. Was my microphone doing the feedback or... Do I need to mute it in between?
Yeah, it appears to be coming.
Okay, so let's go ahead and continue public comments. Vanessa, do we have anyone else that would like to address the board at this time?
President Chavez, I don't see any additional hands raised, but I do have four written comments that we received.
Okay, so can you please read those into the record? Thank you.
The first public comment we received is from Mr. Brian Cook. Honorable board members, I respectfully write to you again on behalf of the City of Temple City regarding the public hearing item on your February 9th agenda regarding redistricting for the Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District board seats. The City of Temple City would like to respectfully reiterate that we have had a long history of being represented by current district boundaries with both common and diverse communities of interest. Therefore, maintaining the current district boundaries as currently configured will provide both continuity and keep intact long-standing stakeholder relationships and collaboration on issues of citywide and region-wide significance. Sincerely, Brian Cook, City Manager, City of Temple City. The next written comment we received is from Ms. Cynthia Sternquist. Dear Honorable Directors, I'm writing to ask that you vote to keep the current maps in place. The data that was represented supports the argument that no changes are needed and that to do so would be a waste of taxpayers' time and money. Hiring a demographer could cost an excess of $50,000 that could be utilized in enhancing current outreach programs for all cities that would help support the efforts of the district in its water conservation efforts. As this is the second public hearing, I am hopeful that there will be a discussion on the issue and a vote will be taken to leave the current map in place and make no changes. Thank you for your consideration and service to our communities. Sincerely, Ms. Cynthia Sternquist, Mayor Pro Tem. The next public comment we received is from Joanna Bennett. My name is Joanna Bennett. I am a 44-year resident of Temple City. I am writing to you to ask you to keep the current map in place that serves Upper District residents. In these challenging financial times, I believe it would be irresponsible for the Upper District to pay in excess of $60,000 for a demographer to produce a new map or even have the result of keeping the same map. There would also have to be more public hearings, which have been difficult to find information on, and rush to get those maps in place before a deadline date sometime in April. The current map in place meets all demographic requirements, so why would the district want to expand funds to change what is already working? Thank you for your time. Joanna Bennett, Temple City. The last public comment we have is from Mr. Sho Tay. Dear Directors, Fellow Chavez, Garcia, Santana, and Trevino, I am writing to you in support of keeping the current water district boundaries as they currently are. The City of Arcadia is currently going through the redistricting process, which caused much confusion and concern with our residents. One of the reasons we need to redistricting is because the population deviation between the largest and smallest district cannot exceed 10% per Federal Voting Rights Act requirements. USGVMWDGM reported that the population change between divisions resulted in the average standard deviation decreasing from 2.9% in 2010 to 2.2% in 2020. He explained that this equates to the divisions being more equal in terms of population size at this time. The GM also shared that the current regulations required that the standard deviation be less than 10%, which makes the need to redistrict any of the divisions unwarranted. Board Legal Counsel also reported that the current upper district boundaries meet both state and federal legislation and are fully defensible. It would be irresponsible to waste money on something that is unnecessary. That money could be better used to enhance the district's water conservation education programs. Sincerely, Shotay Mayor, City of Arcadia. That's the last comment we received.
Okay, well, thank you. Are there any other comments during that time that hands were raised, Vanessa?
No, President Chavez, I do not see any hands raised at this time.
Okay, well, I want to thank everyone who provided comments, and we will move on to the agenda, to item number 5. There are 3 reports that have been submitted from our committees, Administrative Finance, Water Resources and Facilities Management, and the Government Affairs and Community Outreach. Is there anything to add to those reports, any of the chairs? If not, we'll go ahead and receive and file those reports. We'll go to item number 6, consent calendar. Anyone wishing to make a motion to approve the consent calendar as
presented? So moved. So moved, President Chavez. So moved, President Chavez.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. It's been moved by Fellow, seconded by Garcia, to approve the consent calendar from items 6A to 6H. Any discussion? If not, then Vanessa, can please call the roll.
Director Fellow?
Yes.
Director Trevino?
Director Trevino?
Yes.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Vice President Santana?
Yes.
Yes.
President Chavez?
President Chavez?
Aye. Thank you. So that item passes on a 5-0 vote. We'll go to item number 7. Item number 7A is to award the construction contract for Upper District's tenant improvement project. So this item has went before the Water Resources and Facilities Committee. And Mr. Love, do you want to share anything before we take any action on this?
Yeah, so we did open bids. This is a rebid on January 28th. We received 11 bids this time, significantly more than the last bid. The first and second low bid are very close together. We have reviewed with the architect and legal counsel the bid documents of the low bidder, and we are recommending award in an amount of $3,160,000 from Johnny Builders Incorporated, and recommending that the board authorize the general manager to file a notice of exemption under.
Thank you. So I'll go ahead and make the motion. Okay, moved by Trevino, seconded by Chavez, to award those bids to do item number 1 and 2. Is there any discussion on this item? Hearing no discussion, and I want to thank the committee for their work on this action. So,
I'm sorry, President Chavez.
I'm sorry, President Chavez.
Oh, yes.
I just wanted to mention that the feedback is a bit difficult to understand what's being said. So that's still an issue. I just wanted to put that out there. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Vanessa, please call the roll.
Director Fellow?
Yes.
Director Trevino?
Yes.
Director Garcia?
Aye.
Vice President Santana?
Yes.
President Chavez?
Aye. And that vote is a 5-0 vote to approve that contract. We'll go to item number 8, which is informational items that you may read at your leisure. Those items contain press releases and news articles regarding water issues. And then we'll go to number 9, attorney's report. So
thank you, President Chavez and board members. Very briefly, the firm spent most of its time last month working on the Water Smart Program customer compliance letters, as well as assisting staff and the architect in evaluating and moving forward with the item that the board just took action on, the bids on the tenant improvements on the office building. And with that, I'll answer any questions.
Any questions from our attorney? If not, we'll go to item number 10, engineer's report, Mr. Johnson. Johnson's office.
Oh, good morning, President Chavez. Good morning, directors. Steve's out today, so I'll be providing the engineer's report. As of last Friday, the Baldwin Park key well was measured at 182.2 feet. No change from the prior week. And as Steve mentioned in the last meeting, the key well went up 0.3 feet and then went down 0.1 feet. And then now there's no change from the prior week. This is 17 feet lower than a year ago and includes about 129,000 acre feet of untreated imported water into cyclic storage accounts. Reservoir storage. Reservoir storage as of this past Monday, February 7th, was 39,347 acre feet, and this is about 47% of average of capacity. And the minimum pull behind Cogswell, San Gabriel, Moores reservoirs is about 10,500 acre feet. And as of this past Monday, Moores outflow was 20 CFS. During January, there are no deliveries through USG3, but there was deliveries by Upper District through San Gabriel District's pipeline to the San Gabriel Canyons and Azusa treatment plant. And that was about 2,133 acre feet. Rainfall, dry still. Through the end of January, rainfall was 8.30 inches at Puddingstone Dam, which is 88% of average. LA Civic Center through the end of January was 10.35 inches, which is 143% average. So they received more rainfall than we did. Water quality. 46 wells were sampled under Title 22, and Stetson received no public notice of well shutdowns due to contamination. And that concludes my report. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions for our engineer's report? If not, then we'll go to item number 11, the general manager's report. So, Mr. Love.
Yeah, and following on Jenny's local water supply report, as reported previously, Department of Water Resources has increased the state water project allocation from 0% to 15%. It's a big relief. And Metropolitan, looking at their state water project dependent member agencies demands, that 15% should carry us through the end of the calendar year if we continue the conservation efforts. Yesterday at the Metropolitan Board meeting, I don't know if Director Fellow was going to cover this, but there were three actions taken by the Met Board in relation to state water project supplies. They approved entering into an agreement with the State Water Contractors Association with the potential for additional transfers, which would pick up some additional water. Secondly, they approved some engineering analysis of some west side conveyance system improvements that would primarily benefit the City of Los Angeles, Las Virgenes Water District, and Cayugas Municipal Water District. And lastly, very important for the Upper San Gabriel Valley and Water Master, Metropolitan did approve a reverse cyclic program that would allow deferral of deliveries to groundwater basins, but we would be able to purchase the water at the current year's rate, and then Metropolitan would agree to deliver that water over a period of less than 5 years. And if basins reach critical levels, Metropolitan would make provisions to deliver some of that water to maintain basin levels above critical levels. Secondly, there is a producer meeting today at 11 o'clock. I will be presenting a little information on the draft MWD budget, which was presented earlier this week at the MWD board, as well as a update on water supply that will be provided by MWD staff. And last and most importantly, I want to acknowledge that some tenure within the district. Vanessa and Valerie started on the same day, February 1st, 5 years ago, and we're celebrating their fifth year anniversary with the district. So congratulations to both Vanessa and Valerie. That concludes my report.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Love, and congratulations to those two. We'll go to item number 12, Metropolitan Report, and Dr. Fellow.
Thank you, President Chavez. Tom stole some of my thunder, but was good things dealing with the State Water Project yesterday, as Tom mentioned, and also the reverse cyclic program, which Tom has been talking about and introduced in a number of committees, was also passed, as he said. In other board matters, the board heard the findings of the Shaw Group in matters related to it, but was in closed session, and as soon as I can report these out to you, I will let you know. Perhaps the striking part of the meeting was a talk by Chairwoman Gloria Gray, who told the board how she felt about the defeat of her committee restructuring plan. She said it was a slap in the face, and she told the board she received a commitment from every board member and that the committee and vice chairs of those committees that she was going to appoint were one of the most diverse by race and gender in the history of Met. And she ended by saying that certain board members just have to practice divisiveness. And directors Dr. Barry Pressman, Dr. Glenn Peterson, and myself asked that some of these directors reconsider and bring this back to the board for a vote. I don't think this is the end of her restructuring plan. She's very disturbed by it. But that is what occurred at Met yesterday. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Dr. Fellow. In fact, I was on the line listening to that, so it's a great, interesting debate. So yes. We go to item number 13, the water quality report. Just a report that the mayor of Azusa, Robert Gonzalez, got to participate in his first meeting, and as far as reorganization, the board kept the same officers as last time. So nothing new to report there. We'll go to item number 14, Water Master Report. Is there anything that our two representatives need to share with us? If not, then we will go to item number 15, AB 1234 compliance report. That's in our packet. Is there anything that needs to be added, directors? If not, we'll go to item number 16, directors' comments, and we'll go ahead and start with Dr. Fellow.
Thank you, President Chavez. I have nothing, but I'd like to congratulate Vanessa and Valerie on the great service they're doing at the Upper District, and congratulations on your tenure. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll go to Director Garcia.
I also want to congratulate Vanessa and Valerie. That's awesome that you've been here for that long. And I also wanted to speak out in support of Chairwoman Gray, because I am absolutely disgusted and shocked about how many people have insisted that this is not about race or gender, because it is an absolute privilege to be able to say that it is simply about policy and not about the woman who's in charge. When you're a woman of color, and especially a Black woman, everything you do is about your race and gender. The decisions you make are constantly questioned in ways that nobody else would ever encounter, because they don't exist in this space of being a woman and a woman of color. And I think to turn a blind eye to the reality she's facing as the first Black woman and second woman ever in charge of MWD is to just be blind to the realities women of color face. And I think it's even more perplexing, disturbing that these same directors say that they advocate for women, they are champions for women, but their actions that they're taking at these board meetings really say otherwise. And as a woman of color, Director Gray brings her own unique perspective, her own unique life experiences, her own diversity, and to all these appointments that she makes. And I think we should let her make that choice. I think we should not we should give her the due diligence that every other director has been given, and let her appoint her committees. And I'm just absolutely disgusted, frankly, about how she's being treated. I'm extremely disappointed that particularly this is coming from men, frankly, and men who are also men of color. And I would think that they would understand, like, the unique oppression a woman of color would would experience, but clearly that's not the case. And I just absolutely need to speak out against this, because it's to the point where it's frankly embarrassing that we pretend to be about progressive ideals, and we pretend to be about how caring about women, and we pretend to be about that. But those actions at the border taking really speak to the truth. And I support Director Gray, and I think we need to be aware of these comments that they're being said, and they're just sweeping it under the rug that it's not about that. When you're the first one, it's always about that. When you're a Black woman, it is always about your race and gender. So thank you. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. We'll go to Director Trevino.
Thank you, Mr. President. Can everybody hear me? Is there an echo? I'd like to make a statement. Okay. I'd like to make a statement. Yeah, I also was listening in to the Metropolitan meeting. And as most of you know, I spent over 20 years working for Metropolitan in various capacities, government relations, real estate, external affairs. And I'm really saddened by what's going on over there. And it just really bothers me. So I just wanted to make a statement. I'll start this way. The job of the Upper District is to ensure the availability of imported water. And my access to conservation and rebates to Upper District representation as a member agency of Metropolitan. Upper District primarily uses groundwater, which is under strain right now because of the drought. And Upper District is critical for securing imported supplies to replenish the groundwater basin. However, more developed areas of Southern California, Ventura County, South Orange County, Malibu, Riverside, San Bernardino, use a larger portion of imported water. And there is momentum right now on the board to reduce their overall cost by increasing fixed charges for MWD water. This means that Upper District customers who are not fully dependent on imported water, because we have groundwater from the San Gabriel Mountains, would pay more. And this is a caveat that we should be not have to pay more than our fair share. We have to ensure that a representation on Metropolitan does not support fixed higher costs for imported water, and which would hurt San Gabriel residents. That's important. Also, there is a concern, yes, about what's going on at Metropolitan with the chairwoman. And we cannot allow ourselves to fall for race-baiting arguments. This race-baiting argument, baiting arguments that pit Latinos and African Americans against each other, as some of the quotes that were made in the LA Times, quotes by directors, which feed into that race baiting, unfortunate. We should not fall for that as people of color. I'm sure that we Latinos have nothing against Gloria Gray. We want to make sure that we're adequately represented on the Metropolitan Board in policy, in decisions, in committees that would have decision-making authority as committee chairs and vice chairs and so forth. But I'm asking right now if our representative is to help bring back a spirit of civility and collegiality, and not, please, do not feed into the chaos and divisiveness by making comments that would be construed as race baiting. So those are my comments. Thank you for allowing me to speak, Mr. Chair.
Absolutely. Thank you. We'll go to Vice President Santana.
Yes, thank you. I'm hearing an echo. Thank you. I also wanted to address the Metropolitan Board and what's going on that board. So Chairwoman Gray's nominations for committee chairs and vice chairs were shot down for the second year in a row due to a supposed lack of diversity. And looking at the chairwoman's slate, I don't see how anyone can reach the conclusion that her slate is not diverse. There are 14 women on this board. 9 of them were selected for leadership positions. There are 7 Hispanics, 5 were selected for positions in the slate. And approval would have also created 3 new committees. 1, a committee on underserved communities, a committee on equity and inclusion, and a committee on imported water. So I think everybody here can agree that these are very important topics, but these crucial committees were halted from being formed. The vast majority of the board, actually 70%, a whopping 70%, were in favor of moving forward, of approving the chairwoman's picks. Unfortunately, due to the weighted voting structure, which is based on assessed property values, these picks were rejected. This narrowly got rejected, and we're in a state of just waiting. So it really kind of makes you wonder what the motivation is for the 11 members of the 38-member board that voted against the picks. Is it racism against the first African-American chair? Is it maybe because of the weighted voting system on assessed property value, that it's the wealthy that are overrepresented and ultimately thwarting the interests of the board and of the board members? This whole thing just seems very un-American. And I'm trying to still understand how 70% of the board could be thwarted by 30% of the vote. Whatever the reason, as always, the people who suffer the most are the very people these board members were elected to serve. And on top of these issues, the board also needs to address, the Metropolitan also has to address the unprecedented low water supplies on the state water project in the Colorado River, the worsening threats of climate change, and the price changes that will be discussed. So it is very unsettling. And I want to also give a thank you to Director Fellow for giving all of his time. We know this is a very demanding position, all of the energy that you have put towards this, and we are grateful for your dedication. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. President, if I may.
Mr. President, if I may, if you give me a couple minutes.
Yeah, I'll yield my time because I don't have a report, so go ahead.
Yes, those two committees that were mentioned just now came about because of intense negotiations. I was there with the chairwoman to create those committees against her better. She did not want to create the committees. She did not feel they were necessary. So we pushed for that, and we got that done. We pushed for an independent investigation, which she felt also was not necessary. Of course, she's taking the credit for it right now because it now is it's the right thing to do. But it wasn't because she wanted it. She was pushed into it. The other thing too that happened is the unions. They have come to us and talked about project labor agreements, about the right to work, so forth, prevailing wages. Those issues have not been addressed. The issues of the women that are still out there pending are just now being addressed. So, and it's only because we have pushed that. The people that have suffered the most are Latina women in the desert. And that is a concern to me. And I need to make the record clear that it is because the chairwoman has been dragged kicking and screaming, saying that there's no need to do any of this, that everything is hunky-dory, everything is fine, to do the things that Director Santana just mentioned, those two committees, to do the investigation, which he felt was not necessary. Those things have happened behind the scenes, which a lot of you are not aware of. And Director Fellow was not there. Director Fellow now is taking the credit for some of the things that are going on, and so is Chairwoman Gray. But that is not the truth. And so I would be happy to sit down with my colleagues anytime and tell them exactly what happened and how we got to where we got. It just bothers me because they only know the surface. They don't know what's happening behind the scenes, how these negotiations came about. And the people that are now, the minorities that are now in committee chairmanships, came about because of intensive negotiations with the chairwoman to make those things happen. And they are ongoing right now because some of the very same people that contributed to the problems that we have at Metropolitan are now in leadership positions. In leadership positions, you cannot spend 16 years at the Metropolitan Board as a board member and not be aware of the deplorable housing of our desert staff. I worked there. I saw it. I was there. And so somebody says, "No, I spent 16 years on the board." Yeah, and what did you do?
Thank you for that. I just wanted to make sure that everyone had the opportunity to discuss the activities of the Metropolitan Water District, and I don't want to get too far off that topic. So with that, that's director. Absolutely. With that, that's director's comments. We'll go to item number 17, future agenda items. If there is any items, please let me or the general manager know of any items. And then we'll go to item number 18. There's no closed session. And so we'll go to item number 19, adjournment. And before we do that, General Manager Love, is there any other items that we need to dispense with at this time?
No, Mr. President. Not at this time.
Thank you. With that, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for your participation, your comments, and wish you a very good day. And then my last comment is go Rams.